Good morning.
Good morning.
Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their home, these he has kept in darkness, bound in everlasting chains for the judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immoralities and perversion. They serve as an example for those who suffer the punishments of eternal fire. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputed with the devil about the body of Moses, he did not dare to bring slanderous accusations against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." If these men speak abusively against wherever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed by Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love's feast, eating with you without the slightest quorum, shepherds who only feed themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are the wild waves of the sea, foaming up in their shame, slandering wandering stars, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is commanding with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly ways and all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumbling and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. May the Lord has blessing the reading of his holy word.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. That was awesome. The professional sports teams of Boston and the Boston area have had an unusual high amount of success of late. The region has had its share of championships and finals appearances. And if you were to ask their coaches, they would credit it to a good defense, to knowing what the opponent was attempting to do and preventing them from doing it. As we look at this middle section in the letter of Jude, I think about that admonition. Know your enemy and prevent them from doing what they intend to do. For Jude, if the church is to understand the strategy of those who are opposing God, they need to refresh their knowledge of the past. In the events of the past, Jude reminds them of what is going to happen in their present. In these middle verses, we have looked last week at verses 3 and 4, and it says, "Contend for the faith, because," verse 4, "certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." He is then taking that statement. What are these men? Who are these people? These godless, graceless, lordless, disobedient men who have snuck in. Who are they? Next week, when we finish this letter, we will talk about what Jude really means by contending for the faith. But first, before we can fight, we need to know what are the ground, what is the opponent's game plan? And so let's look first at verses 5 through 10. In verses 5 through 10, and then verses 11 and 12 and 13, and then verses 14 through 16, have the same pattern. There are those in the past, and then there are these. There is a little bit of interlude with verses 9 and 10 about the Archangel Michael as a correction toward what he's been saying. But let's look at verses 5 through 10. There will be those who resist God's sovereignty. Jude shows the church Old Testament examples of that. He says there was the desert generation who was saved only to die in the desert. If you were to look at the book of Exodus, you would know that God delivers the people of Israel miraculously, wondrously, from the hands of the Egyptians. But you would also read that these men and women who were saved miraculously, who saw the grace of God, who saw the goodness of God, that they died in the desert. All except for Caleb and Joshua. 2 out of 2 million that generation died. They were shown exceeding grace, and yet they questioned God's goodness. Then Jude goes on to talk about the visiting angels of Genesis chapter 6, which was a common interpretation that the angels of God gave up their heavenly abode and had relations with human women. That they opposed God's divine authority. That they opposed God's purposes and plans. And then he shares about the regions around Sodom and Gomorrah that were destroyed by fire and brimstone because human beings desired relations with other bodies. Whether it was the angels or themselves or bestiality, we are not 100% sure. But they desired relations with other. And they disregarded God's grand design in creation. Here we have three examples from the Old Testament of people, as Jude has already said, these people have snuck in and they deny Christ as the sovereign, as the Lord and sovereign. They deny the authority of God to determine what is right and wrong, to rule the people. And Jude then shares the connection to contemporary false teachers. These infiltrators were dreaming. And really what they were doing was they were having visions and prophecies. Old men will dream dreams, it says in Acts and in the prophets. Older women will have visions. Parallel idea. They were speaking for God, or they said they were speaking for God. But their revelations were polluting their bodies. They were adding impurity into the body of Christ. Their words from God rejected his authority. in their teachings blasphemed what was good and glorious. They were acting like the people of Sodom, impure. They were acting like the visiting angels, rejecting God's authority. They were like the desert generation, blaspheming what was good and glorious in their midst. Even the archangel Michael, Jude says, would not dare to step into the place of God. Whereas these men are stepping into God, speaking for God, things that God would never say. The archangel Michael, who had spoken directly to God, refused to speak as God, and rather says, God will rebuke you. They revile what they do not understand, and they revel in their instinct. They resisted God's law and His order to their own peril. But thankfully, God has delivered us from this way of thinking. We have the Spirit who reminds us that the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. We don't need new rules. We don't need new authorities. We don't need new understandings. We don't need new interpretations. We simply need to trust that what God says is true and right and just. Secondly, verses 11 through 13, there will be those who revise God's instruction. Jude shows the church Old Testament examples again. First, there was the way of Cain in Genesis 4. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel offered their sacrifice, their offerings to God. And Abel's gift, which was the choicest of things, was accepted, and Cain's, which was not the choicest of things, was rejected. And God says, if you gave me the suitable offering, it would be accepted. But instead, Cain, as he speaks with God, does not listen to God. He refused God's grace and exchanged it for bitterness. He heard God's word in his own ear and twisted it to justify his bad behavior. There is the error of Balaam. Balaam was given a prophecy. He heard from God, but for the search of wealth and well-being, he does not share it immediately. He refused God's grace and exchanged it for wealth. And God judged him. God ultimately spoke that word of prophecy against the neighboring pagan nations, because God's will not be thwarted. There's the rebellion of Korah. In the days of Moses in Numbers 16, Korah and a couple of the Levite priests decide that they don't want to follow Moses anymore. They question Moses' authority. Ultimately, they question God's authority. They question God's word. And they say, we aren't going to follow you anymore. And we have 250 others that will not follow you either. And so Moses said, here's what we're going to do. We are going to go to the altar and bring God our sacrifice to the altar, and we'll see what happens. And Moses offers his through Aaron, and God accepts his offer. Korah and his 250 men and his Levite friends offer their sacrifice. And as they come before the altar, the earth opens up. They are swallowed, and then the earth goes back, never again seen from. They rebelled. They understood. They heard God's word, but they did not accept it. And Jude shares the connection with the contemporary teachers. These infiltrators are like blemishes, and really, they are like wreaths. They are like barnacles at the love feast. These infiltrators are tearing apart the fellowship of the church. And ultimately, to a struggling community, they are hopeless mirages of godliness. They are self-supporting shepherds, not caring for the sheep, but caring for themselves. They are waterless clouds. They offer hope for those who are in a drought, but there is no rain. They are fruitless trees. It is the season of harvest, and they have nothing. They will be uprooted and thrown into the fire. They are like wild waves, not moving the ship forward, just tossing it back and forth in the same place. They are like wayward stars, not directing. In a time before GPS and compasses, you followed the stars. And if there was a wayward star, you would follow it to the wrong place. You would follow it into the darkest of darknesses. Because they revised the word of the Lord to serve their own purposes and suffered the consequences for doing the same. But God has delivered us from that way of thinking as well. Jesus called blessed those who hear the word of God and obey it. And it would do us wise to be shepherds who care for the sheep, and clouds that water the soil, and trees that produce fruit, and waves that lead to safe passage and port, and stars that guide in righteous paths, because we follow the truth of God's word. Thirdly, there will be those who reject God's correction. Verses 14 to 16. Jude shows an example from their church tradition. Jude shares the words of Enoch. Now, Enoch is not part of the Bible. Enoch is not an inspired writing. But Enoch was a disciple of Adam. In Hebrews 11:5, it says, "By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." And the people of that day, seeing that Enoch was removed miraculously, that he did not taste death, they cherished his words. And one of the statements that was handed down from Enoch is quoted by Jude, not because Jude was a prophet, but because he spoke prophetically. The Lord comes with a myriad of holy ones. The Lord comes with a myriad, 10,000,000 of holy ones, of saints, of believers. And he is coming to judge ungodly acts done in ungodly ways with ungodly words. Now, this is not something unique to Enoch, This is something that is found in Scripture. That the heavens will part. 1 Thessalonians says, 2 Thessalonians says, and God will come and judge the wicked and the dead. That there is a judgment that is coming. And God will judge every unseen act. Christ will judge every motive, separating good from bad, like we would separate sinew from muscle. And Jude shares the connection, why he is sharing this obscure reference that the Jewish people of that time would have held on to. The coming judgment will not bring the infiltrators to repentance. They will continue to sin. They will continue to grumble and find fault, just like the people of the desert wanderers. They will disobey, following their own evil desires, like so many that we have seen already in this passage. And they will deny, boasting about and bettering themselves. These are ungodly men who grumble and find fault with God. These are those that change grace of God into license for immorality, following their own evil desires. These are the ones that deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord, boasting about themselves, bettering themselves in the space of community. They rejected God's loving and righteous restoration. God was coming to purify, and they refused, and they were rejected. But we can be comforted in knowing that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sermon in a sentence is this: God's word reminds us of the consequences of rejecting God's word. God's word reminds us of the consequences of rejecting God's word. The opponent to the furthering of the gospel, the opponent to the effectiveness of the church, are those who resist God's sovereignty, who revise God's word, and reject God's correction. The history of humanity tells us that those who do these things will not succeed. We know these infiltrators resist and reject the grace of God. And those who oppose them will see God's favor. So remain faithful to the Lord and contend for the faith, remembering that the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. That Jesus calls blessed those who hear the word of God and obey it. And if we confess, he will cleanse us. God's word reminds us of the consequences of rejecting God's word. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this primer on the Old Testament, for this reminder of what the enemy's schemes and plans are, for this reminder that there is nothing new under the sun. And the things that we face today, and the temptations and the trials that we see today, are nothing new. Help us only remain faithful to you. Help us not be swayed by those who offer hope but are empty inside. Help us not to trust in those who twist your word for their own advantage. Help us to recognize that you are sovereign over all things, and that you will come, and you will judge, and you will purify, and you will be gracious to those who are your own. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.